Welcome to the Social Expedition. Produced by LunaWeb, visit us at lunaweb.com. This is show number 7 coming to you on November the 18th, 2009. You know, November 18th rolls right off the tongue, but then you realize that next week is Thanksgiving.
It's unbelievable. What happened to this year?
It's a little insane.
I know, and I feel like we say that every year. Every year that comes and goes, it will get to November and we'll say, what happened to the year? Where did 2010 go? That's what we'll be saying next year. Or maybe we'll say 2010. The jury is still out.
Yeah, apparently that's a huge debate.
It's a very big issue. Yeah. I have not heard of this. Yeah.
What's this?
Whether we're going to say 2010 or 2010. And so they, you know, even people who say 2009 are saying, no, we're going to say 2010.
And so in these debates that you've heard, how many times has tomato come up?
I mean, that's the way I feel about it.
Is that, you know.
That's the way I'm pretty sure most people feel about it. But there's enough people who make it contentious enough that there's some major debate.
Gosh, there's not enough other stuff going on in the world right now.
We'll debate about anything. You know? Exactly.
Yeah, we'll debate about people debating about useless things.
Oh, yes. You know? Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I hadn't heard that, so thanks for the enlightenment.
You're welcome.
So speaking of that, enlightenment, hey, I'm Dave.
I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Matthew.
And there's a world of stuff going on, and we've kind of narrowed it down, boiled it down to the juicy nuggets here with what's happening in the social media sphere, as we ourselves are kind of recovering from Bar Camp Memphis.
Absolutely.
Which, I don't know, I thought it went really well.
Me too. I'd second that.
So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, we had about just over 70 people, I think, make their way through there during some course of the day. Gosh, I don't know how many presentations that we had, but I saw connections being made all over the place. You know, in the hallways, it was like somebody came by with a spray paint can of connection and started spraying it everywhere, you know. Because there were people like, we had a blog house going on, Matthew, and you said, I heard that video excerpt that you did from there. There's like a lot of buzz going on in there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I saw people hanging out in the cafeteria all day, people making connections in the hallway. I thought that was really good. And that's a big part of Bar Camp, and that's a big button push there. And, you know, I got to blast through some of the photos Sunday with my Bar Camp hangover, you know, and seeing the people smile in there. In a lot of those shots and whatnot, that's some of the juice. That's what it's all about, really. And
I went to bed at 7:45 on Saturday night.
I managed to stay up a little bit longer, but I did not finish the movie I started.
No, it was an exhausting day, but good in a good way. Hmm.
Yeah, so that was our second Bar Camp. The first one happened right at about a year ago, and this is a conference pretty much focused, you know, if you hadn't heard already, it's a conference kind of focused on the whole Web 2.0 thing and all the variety of disciplines that encompasses.
Design, development, every possible end of this thing.
And, of course, social media.
Right.
Yeah, definitely an increasing slice of the pie. And the other thing I thought that was really great about our Bar Camp is that we had people from our neighboring states join us, both to attend as well as to present, which I thought was just outstanding. You know, to be here on this side. I've been to many other places and presented there, you know, not expecting to, but just, hey, they needed somebody on a particular topic and I was all set. But to be on this side, it's very humbling. It's, you know, to be the kind of the host to these people coming in from around to share what they've got is it's a great experience. So good job. We are, speaking of the whole Bar Camp, the core conversation that we're doing this Friday from 11:30 to 12:30 is going to be our feedback, Bar Camp feedback show.
Absolutely. It's sort of our Feedback Friday Bar Camp edition. Mm-hmm. So we are, of course, wanting everyone to call in and join the conversation. You can find out all the information about where to listen and how to call in at socialexpedition.com.
Where's that again?
Socialexpedition.com.
God, it even sounds great.
So all that info is there. We definitely want you to call in and let us know. We did something similar to this after social camp and just found that it's a great resource. You know, we want to know what went right, what could be better next time, what we should start doing, and just what your experience was at bar camp so we can make the next sort of camp experience even better.
Yeah, we're constantly evolving, constantly changing.
So to kind of close the loop on that, what we did on social camp from the feedback that we got is Matthew, you put together some show notes from that, like that, kind of a hit list of do's and don'ts for next time. And as we were prepping up for bar camp, we were going through that list again to make sure that we had addressed everything. Nothing like making the same mistake twice. So that's how we close the loop on that. Look forward to doing that this time with bar camp.
Yeah.
Feedback. All right, what is it again? It's Feedback Friday,
Bar Camp? Feedback Friday, Bar Camp Edition.
Bar Camp Edition. Okay. Well, hey, not speaking about Bebo at all, but hey, while we're on this topic, you know, you've found some new news about Bebo.
Yes. And they've introduced something new, which is this button to help children report bullying or child abuse. Children, of course, being just minors in general, mm-hmm. under the age of 18, which, as we know, are, you know, just a huge base of users of social media.
If you don't know, Bebo is a social network. It's actually most popular in, like, South America and...
The UK.
Yeah, the UK.
The UK.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, basically, just the interesting thing about this is it's just making it easy, in your face, really user-friendly to report these kinds of things. It's not only reporting it to the site, to Bebo, but also takes the user to the Child Exploitation and Online Protection Center. So it's just, it's taking a really aggressive stance on it, which I think is interesting. And, you know, you can't help but wonder if we'll see something mm-hmm. similar to this happen on Facebook, MySpace, etc.
Yeah. Facebook has ways you can report people who are abusing the system, but you have to look for them. MySpace has had an abuse button on their, like, emails and everything for a while, but it's always been sort of like report abuse, as in report somebody
system abuse.
Me.
Exactly. It's it's not really.
It's not like this person is bullying me.
Exactly. So this is an interesting development. At least it seemed that way to me.
And if you're interested in Bebo, that's Bebo.com, now owned by America Online. Actually, they those good folks bought that property, I think, in the last year or so ago.
Yeah, who knew?
Yeah.
America Online.
I've got a Bebo account that, kind of looking around at different social networks, and I found it was a good place initially. But this was, you know, gosh, 18 months ago, so who knows what's there
years
now.
Years in social terms.
Yeah.
It was a good place for music. There seemed to be a lot of creative type things going on there. In fact, I did buy an album from some group off of Bebo there. So there's another interesting, social network. Check it out. And on the social network side of things, Facebook, as far as any new news is going on, and this is of interest to our business listeners, they are now using, they have now rolled out their ads to where your fans, friends of your fans, and get a special ad if you take out this advertising option. So it will only show up there, and it will almost like endorse your, you know. So let's say I don't know Matthew, but Matthew knows Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is a fan of LunaWeb. So I can take out an ad, and when Matthew sees it, it'll say that Elizabeth is a fan of LunaWeb.
Around this ad. I don't know that I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, so there's a
I know that I've declared myself to be a fan of that, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I endorse it fully.
Mm-hmm.
Or that I would want all of my friends to see that.
It is sort of like
advertisement that.
Yeah, it is sort of like product endorsement without asking you.
Now,
it's interesting.
I'll have to check this out. I believe somewhere on the back end you can say, I don't want my face to show up on these types of ads.
Right.
You know, so somewhere buried deep under the hood, probably under the transmission there, you know, you'll find a small switch to let you opt out of these types of things.
Yeah, I mean, 9 times out of 10, if I've declared myself to be a fan of something on Facebook, I am a fan of it and would, like, gladly endorse it. I just mm-hmm. want to be asked first.
Yeah. So, that question is in the air right now. Obviously, it will your friend's endorsement of being a fan that will incite many other people to become a fan. And so it may wind up being, okay, they ruffled a few feathers, but overall...
Overall, it's not a huge thing. It's basically like an advertising... So what you're saying is it's basically... What you're saying is that it's basically an advertising option that sends out that news update that says, like, Matthew became a fan of Lord T&L Louise and recommended that you do too.
Well, no, it's one of the ads that show up on the right-hand side of the page there.
Yeah.
So it's actually in the display ad. Then it'll just below it will say, so-and-so is a fan.
Yeah. So with a lot of things that are out there right now, unless you're worried about people being upset about this, it is so important to be out there with the leading, bleeding edge, with stuff before everybody else gets on there, because then you're just part of the noise. So, you need to be out there trying out these new things before, while you can do it and still be exceptional, before everybody just gets used to seeing it and then they just don't see it anymore. So that's one of the things that we try and do. With what we're doing, what we recommend for our clients is to try and get on there quick, because these things change so fast. Things are happening so quickly now. Anyway, there's what's up with Facebook. You guys were talking about Twitter is now rolled out to some people. Now, I didn't get it, but you guys have special powers. You got some kind of retweeting power?
Yeah, it's interesting. In my mind, my mental jury is still out on it. Basically, the way it works is that if you see a post that you would like to retweet, there's a little button that you can click, and essentially it makes that post show up in your feed as if, or show up in your followers' feeds as if you tweeted it. But it's got the, so say I wanted to retweet something that Matthew tweeted. My followers would see Matthew's icon and handle in their feed, regardless of if they follow him or not, and below it, it would say retweeted by, and it would have my Twitter username.
Right.
So you would see that it came from me, but it wouldn't look like it came from me.
Yeah, and there are advantages and disadvantages of this, too. Like, the way they've got it set up, you can retweet longer, like, you can retweet tweets that take up,
140 characters.
So you don't have to, take up space saying RT at username. But at the same time, like, that's kind of become the established way to do retweets. And it seems like, with at replies and hashtags, Twitter added those functionalities as a result of how people were already using the system. It seems like with retweets, they've just invented something completely new. There's people are doing this. I think we can make it better than what they were doing, instead of just making use of what was already happening.
I think one of the things that it takes out of the picture is that often when I retweet something, I may only retweet half of it, for example, and then I might put my own little comment on there. Like, oh, couldn't agree more. I love that restaurant. Retweet, so-and-so said this about this restaurant. And it takes that option out for me and puts, and I don't like that. I like to be a little editorial.
So on this, because, some people are new yet. What is a retweet? Explain that for folks that are listening who don't know.
A retweet is when you see a tweet that you like for whatever reason that may be. If it's a, an opinion that you agree with or something interesting, an article, can be anything. And you post that as a, you send that tweet out in, your feed. And you use that person's Twitter handle, give them credit, and say that it's a retweet. You are tweeting, but repeating what they said. So you're retweeting it.
So if I retweeted you, basically I'm just saying, Elizabeth said, blah, 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 blah,
exactly.
blah.
Exactly. You're quoting that person for, any number of reasons, but, that you agree or like what they tweeted.
So for those of you that aren't familiar with Twitter and you see some of your Facebook buddies and their Facebook update starts out with an RT, that's because they're pumping in their tweets into their Facebook updates, and that's what that RT is, retweet.
Absolutely.
Like recycle.
So we'll see how this goes. I mean, I'm not convinced. I don't love it just yet, but... it is interesting. It's just a new function, and we'll see if people like it or not.
Okay. Well, all right. I guess I'm part of the rest of the crowd on this one. So hey, bringing it on down to the bluff.
city here. Yeah.
To the local area. Yes. We do have our Memphis Tweeter of the Week. Every week we like to just give a little shout-out to people in Memphis doing cool stuff on Twitter. And this week, actually, you know, we just were talking about Bar Camp, and one of our sponsors for Bar Camp was Impact Memphis. If you're not familiar with them, they are Impact Memphis on Twitter. And their sort of mission statement, or, you know, their official statement on the organization is engaging a diverse, creative generation of young professionals who want to connect with each other and Memphis. So, I mean, with their Twitter handle, they're doing, you know, the usual stuff in terms of promoting their events, networking opportunities, job opportunities, that kind of stuff. But they're running some contests here and there, promoting local businesses, promoting the networking opportunities is what I thought was pretty cool, and job opportunities, particularly at this time. They actually have another initiative going on that they were working on at Bar Camp, where they are surveying people in Memphis to try to get some information that they're going to use to shape the future of our community and hopefully, you know, improve the city.
All right.
And they're doing a lot of that, kind of getting responses and putting the word out about that through Twitter.
So it's Twitter. You can find them over on Twitter at
Impact Memphis. So it's MPACT Memphis.
Gotcha. All right. Well, hey, coming up, we've got our guests, Carrie Corbett and Tanya Castroverde Maskalenko, joining us from GPAC.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Welcome to the expedition. Great to have you here, really.
Thanks. We're excited about it.
We've been doing the whole social thing for quite a while now.
We have. We started out, gosh, a couple years ago. We were one of the first ones that were jumped on the social bus here with you, Dave.
Absolutely.
I think we've had a lot of growth just recently. I think as Facebook has become more mainstream, we've certainly noticed a lot more growth in our fans on our page, and have been sending out a lot more posts and continuing to find new ways to utilize it in our marketing.
Something came out the other day that said we're just right at about 50%. Of people that are on the internet are on Facebook.
I've heard that.
That's
an
amazing
figure.
That's a great figure. And as Carrie has mentioned, we have seen tremendous growth over the last few months, I would say particularly since the summer of 2009. And one of the things that is makes it easier for us now is that our audience and our patron base, because they are more aware of Facebook and social media, it's a lot easier for us now to communicate with them. And so not only the people who have actually become fans of GPAC on Facebook, but just the patron base as a whole is more familiar with it. So one of the exciting things we've started to do just recently in the past 20 days is that when we have a concert, we, in the past, we used to ask people to turn off their cell phones. Mm-hmm. Well, just recently, we have started asking people to keep on their cell phones. And we do ask them to silence them, but we ask them to keep their cell phones on so that they can Twitter from their seats throughout the concert. And that's been really exciting because people always laugh when we say...
That's right. You can send a tweet from your seat.
That's right. So that's been really fun. And I think that that's something that will really grow in seasons to come.
And so, you know, you're talking about some of these advances now. Like, could you paint a picture of, let's say, how you would stay in contact with your patrons, say, you know, 5 years ago versus... today, you know, frequency.
Oh, wow. 5 years ago, that seems like we're going back to the dark ages.
Maybe,
the way the technology
has
moved. But, 5 years ago, we had a website with our e-blast that we used to send out. Our e-blast, I mean, it certainly wasn't in anywhere near the numbers. But, I mean, it was an e-blast and you could communicate. We had some mild analytics that we could, you know, check into, but I mean, certainly we didn't have nearly the kind of data that we have today, even when we send out an e-blast to see, you know, who opened it and who spent time online and who checked out the video and who moved on to our ticketing site. There just wasn't any kind of that data available. Most of our communication was still through telephone, through direct mail. So it's grown tremendously and changed tremendously. I mentioned that we were one of the first ones to jump on board with Facebook, and you know, building up a fan base. Well, initially when we set up the page, they didn't even have fan pages. That's an innovation that Facebook has come up with, that they didn't even have that available mm-hmm. when we started. We just had to start have a regular person page, a regular profile. And so that has certainly changed. And I think one of the things, as Tanya said, that the demographics have certainly become more aware of Facebook, and in large part, I think, because you've come out with our audience and have been a presence there and have talked about Facebook at some of our events and made people more aware of that. But as people have gotten more aware and as the tools on Facebook have gotten better, the communication has just gotten so much easier. Now we have over 1,000 fans on our Facebook page, and you know, we mm-hmm. send out messages and talk to people all the time, and it's great to have that interaction. You know, that's something that you never used to get before. It's nice to have that interaction.
One of the things that is different is that before, the communication felt like it was one way. We would put out the information, whether it was through direct mail or it was through a television or radio commercial, but there was never, the communication wasn't coming back to us from mm-hmm. the actual patron. Right. And so social media has really changed that, because now this communication is two-way. And so we talk to them and they talk back, and we can actually have a conversation where that wasn't possible before.
And you know, a lot of organizations kind of steer away from that because they're afraid that, you know, some ways that had a bad experience is going to come just, you know, let loose or rant all over your stuff. Have you guys had any? You haven't had any trolls, like, you know, come and...
No, we haven't. But, you know, and even whether it's positive or negative feedback, I think that is really crucial to an organization mm-hmm. because that's how you learn. If everything is positive and everybody around you is just giving you positive feedback, mm-hmm. that may be great for your ego as an organization, but it doesn't really do anything to move the organization forward or to fix the things that are not working. And so I think it's really crucial to listen to the customer who is not, may not have had a good experience or is not happy with something about the organization. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And social media has allowed that to happen.
Has there been some good feedback experiences?
We have great feedback. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, we did a survey mm-hmm. This past year, and the survey, it was so positive that we actually feel like we need to get out there, because we are certain that there are some negative experiences that we want to hear about. But the feedback was amazingly positive of the mm-hmm. people attending GPAC. How pleased they are with our programming, with the way we reach out to the customer. It was all very positive.
That's outstanding. You know, and I know it's always welcome, but sometimes I know, you know, in running an organization, you want to know where the soft spots are, the sore spots
exactly.
are, so that you can fix them.
Absolutely.
We're trying to encourage feedback. We put this thing together called Feedback Friday. Where essentially on Friday, you kind of go out on your social presences and say, hey, give us some feedback, you know, and
cool.
if you want to give it to us privately, that's cool mm-hmm. too, but just give us some feedback. We're open for it. You know, we welcome it.
That's mm-hmm. wonderful. That's wonderful.
You know, a lot of people are, we're a very polite society, and, you know, Facebook knows that we are, and that's why Facebook gives us the opportunity to just hide somebody mm-hmm. instead of letting them know, hey, you're making a little bit too much noise for me, and I'm going to hide you if you don't, you know, we just can check them and hide them, and, it would be good if we got feedback. So we're trying to see that happen more often, this whole Feedback Friday thing.
I think that, you know, and I think that at GPAC, we do have this very personal relationship with our patrons, because we do see them. They come through our doors. Mm-hmm. They're not a blind patron. It's mm-hmm. not like they go and purchase something off the shelf. You know, management never sees the client. At GPAC, we're an arts organization, we're a nonprofit organization, but we actually see our client at performances. So we have a very personal face-to-face relationship. And I can tell you that there are clients, and we call them patrons, there are patrons that will come up to us after a performance, and they are very verbal and very vocal about whether they liked something or didn't like something.
Okay.
And I think that they just have that level of they feel comfortable to be able to come out with that, whether it's positive or negative. And I think it says a lot about the staff, that they have engaged the patron with this relationship, this very personal relationship, that they feel comfortable to do that.
And that's what's great about Facebook and social marketing, you know, for us as an arts organization. There's just that perfect synergy that allows us to move that relationship out into the community and away from the venue just at the points of events and continue that conversation. So it's a perfect medium for us.
You're not just a venue out there competing with other, I guess, you know, commercial type venues, but you also have the community, a community that you serve as well.
Oh, definitely. And through all the education programs and classes and things that we offer through GPAC. Yeah.
The people who consume our product are consuming our product it's their leisure time. Because we present art and people come to the performances in their leisure time. And there is this very blurred line between, for all of us on the staff, between business and pleasure, so to speak. I mean, what we do for a living, what the staff does, is provide opportunities for entertainment and enrichment and education to the community when it comes to the arts. So there are these very blurred lines. And so all of us at GPAC are on Facebook all day long. So even though we use Facebook for our own private life, it is also a tool that crosses over. And so there are these blurred lines between, you know, your personal life and your professional life. And it's all one. And I'm not sure that really happens in every industry. There are industries that are very marked that this is work and then this is my personal life. And so it's interesting because you go to GPAC and everybody will have their Facebook page open. And we go back and forth between work and it's interesting. And I don't know, maybe you can talk about that, Carrie, a little bit more.
Well, I think it's always interesting to you know, when we go to the meetings with the city and I say, oh, we've been on Facebook, and everybody kind of looks at me like, what is she doing on Facebook? Why is she Facebooking at work? But that's part of the job that we do is to engage that community. And you know, through Facebook and through social marketing has been just a tremendous tool for us to be able to do that. We've been able to increase that conversation and you know, to really open more of a dialogue with our patrons and with the people who are interested in particular, you know, whether it's an education program, whether it's a particular artist, you know, however it is, it gives them a lot of information and a lot of ways to engage that we didn't have available before.
Yeah, it's been great working with y'all.
We feel the same way.
Fantastic organization, and you're very creative as well. And I think there's a lot of creativity that has to happen these days to be successful in these realms because there's so much noise going on out there. And you both have creative backgrounds, and so that whole creative process and art and inspiration and working together to collaborate and come up with new things. Is very inspiring to see that going on from here, and you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
Setting a high bar for folks, and you know, keep it up there.
Thank you. I do want to say that it's been really important to continue the relationship with Luna Webb, that we started working together almost three years ago. But I think that one of the things that has been instrumental in our success is that we have maintained that relationship with Luna Webb. We didn't bring Luna Webb in, did what we needed to do. We updated our website and we did some things and then just backed away. Mm-hmm. I think that we have a very, very tight relationship with Luna Webb. We maintain that relationship. We stay in touch. We're constantly throwing ideas back and forth, and we are staying on top of what the latest and most innovative ideas are out there when it comes to social media. And I think that has been crucial to our success with social media and social marketing.
Thank you so much.
And
we really enjoy that, too.
No,
really.
We do.
It's not just a transaction. You know, we get to be part of the process.
Absolutely, you're part of the
great
family.
You know, and speaking of inspiration, you know, we're working on putting together a new kind of a concept here called we're going to call it Affiniteams. And it's kind of like these little brainstorming sessions where we bring this small group of people together to talk about what's going on in social. So maybe like over lunch, a couple, three clients to come in, and then 20 minutes apiece, we talk about their particular organizations and
that
all kind of brainstorm together.
Excellent.
And that's inspired from some of the stuff that you've done over there at
Thank GPAC. You. Yeah, we have our weekly brainstorming meetings that we get the staff together.
That's right. Yeah,
just throw out ideas.
We'd love to have you out for those. So, hey, tell us a little bit. So where are you out there so we can make sure that folks engage with GPAC out there in the whole big social media sphere?
In the whole big social media sphere? Well, we're obviously on Facebook. We're on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on MySpace. You can find us at our website, which is www.gpacweb.com. We always post our videos from LunaWeb comes out and talks to a lot of our patrons before, during, and after concerts, so you can find their videos and some of their comments about the and even some of the artists. We've had some of the artists that have participated with that, so they're on YouTube, so you can find us all over the web now, thanks to Dave and LunaWeb.
Thanks you guys for being so open and progressive and willing to step out there. It's awesome hanging out there on the edge with you guys.
Absolutely. Walking on the wire.
And what other things do we have coming up in the season? What should we be looking forward to at GPAC?
Well, we have a tremendous number of performances and events coming up beginning in January. A lot of our concerts are in a little bit of a lull right now, as Dave had mentioned earlier, during November and December. But we have Wynton Marsalis, who everybody will know as an amazing trumpeter, jazz artist. He will be at GPAC in March. And also we have David Sedaris, who is a humorist and really well known. His books are well known all over the world. David Sedaris will be with us in April. Mm-hmm. And then we have a whole array of artists from jazz to dance to musical theater, and everybody can see who's coming to GPAC on our website at gpacweb.com.
Right, we have the Soweto Gospel Choir that's coming in February. That's going to be awesome. And then people can start making their Valentine plans already, because we're going to have Dee Dee Bridgewater, who is a phenomenal jazz singer, and she'll be doing a special Valentine's Day performance with music by Billie Holiday. So that's going to be phenomenal. I'm excited. I'm a singer, so I get excited about the singers. I always am.
We also have a tremendous show with Tao from Japan.
Yes, that's going to be
awesome. It's the martial art of drumming. We do expect that to be a sellout. This is a group from Japan, and it's the huge drums,
right,
the taiko drums. So that's called Tao, and that'll be in March as well.
Wow. And then we're closing this season with some 60s cool with the Rat Pack is back, and that's going to be a reenactment of one of their Summit on the Sands concerts. And so it's Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra and Joey
Davis
Bishop
Jr.
and Sammy Davis Jr. So the voices are just amazing. They've got the styles down, so we're excited to have that too. But that's going to be something I think that'll be really fun to close the season.
We have a tremendous number of concerts, but also our education programs are so important at GPAC. And in the last 4 years, our programs in education have increased 230%, which is a tremendous number.
Ooh, wow.
And in this economy, to continue that growth. But we are so committed to arts education. We feel that our entire society should be behind arts education, because as we look toward, especially in this community, retaining and attracting talent to our organizations, we really need to be able to have offerings to our entire community. And I think GPAC is there to do that. So we're very excited about our education programs.
Outstanding. Cool. Outstanding. Well, it's been very exciting to have you all join
thank
us today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. We're delighted to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So coming up, November the 20th, 11:30 to 12:30, join us for the, what's a great title you have now?
Feedback Friday Bar Camp Edition.
That's our Core Conversation podcast going on from 11:30
That's
to
right.
12:30. Please be a part of that.
All the information is at socialexpedition.com for how to listen or call in.
We can't make Bar Camp better if we don't know where some of those soft spots are.
Absolutely. And we've also got another Social Expedition breakfast coming up. December 2nd, we are going to be welcoming Dr. Chris Markman from the University of Memphis. Should be really interesting. She spoke to the expedition back in April, and we'll be hearing from her again. Just kind of
it was a real great, real informative
yeah.
session too. it's definitely worth coming back out. And
she boiled down a lot of information that came out from the Pew Internet Study, and they've come out with another one. And so she'll be boiling some of that down for us, down to the nitty gritty there. Well, and so hey, with that, you know, be sure you join us online over at thesocialexpedition.com. Become a fan of ours over on Facebook at
Socialexpedition.com.
And of course, please become a fan of ours at LunaWeb, who makes all this happen at facebook.lunaweb.com.
You can also find us on Twitter, twitter.com/LunaWeb and twitter.com/SMExpedition.
All right, have a great week.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. Your hosts are Dave Barger, Elizabeth Kaywine, and Matthew Crawford Trissler, who edits the podcast. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.